Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the programme tonight, the term President of Bharat has been used for the first time in an official invite to foreign leaders attending the weekend G20 summit, replacing the traditional President of India, an invitation sent by Rashtrapati Bhavan. This marks a significant shift in nomenclature on the international stage as the country hosts the mega event featuring the US President Joe Biden and the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, among several others. The term Bharat, of course, is also in the Constitution. India, that is Bharat, shall be a union of states, it says in Article 1 of the Constitution. Bharat has also been used in a G20 booklet handed out to foreign delegates titled Bharat, the Mother of Democracy. Now, the opposition has hit out at what they say is a politically motivated attempt to rename India Bharat, just at a time when the opposition alliance has named itself India. On this program, we won't get into the Congress versus BJP mudslinging because there's plenty of that. Instead, we'll try and look at the significance of the move, its ramifications and its acceptance. At 9:30 p.m., a very special interview. Sanjay Pugalia interviews the Rajasthan Chief Minister Ashok Gehlot as NDTV starts our new channel, our Rajasthan channel. So that will be coming up at 1:30 p.m. But first, the big political development of the day. Will India now go by the name Bharat? That is, it appears, where there is a political drive by the BJP. Will it actually amount to change? Several political reactions. Let's listen in.
देश में ये सारे हम जो कहते हैं कि हमको दासत्व की मानसिकता से बाहर आना है, कोलोनियल माइंडसेट से बाहर आना है, ये उसके लिए सबसे बड़ा स्टेटमेंट है।
इंडिया नामटा नामे सारा विश्व चेने हठात एमन की होलो आज के देशेर नामटाओ चेंज हो जाबे
ऐसा कहा जा रहा है इसलिए किया जा रहा है क्योंकि इंडिया नाम का कई सारी पार्टियों का एक अलायंस बना है जिसका नाम इंडिया है कल मान लीजिए इस इंडिया अलायंस ने अपना नाम बदल के भारत रख लिया तो फिर भारत भी बदल देंगे फिर क्या भारत का नाम बीजेपी रखेंगे
If you want to start calling India as Bharat, have you consulted with the states? Have you discussed it in parliament?
जो नामकरण जो गठबंधन का हुआ है इससे इतने ये लोग डरे हुए हैं कि नाम जो है बदल रहे हैं बताइए अब इंडिया नाम लेने में भी कतरा रहे हैं किस बात का डर है भाई We are proud to be Indian. हमें गर्व है कि हम भारत के लोग हैं
All right, lots of strong reactions there from the opposition. But we're going to try and get to the bottom of this, the entire issue of the name of India and the name of Bharat. They mean the same thing. That's what Article 1 of the Constitution says. But where has it been historically after we became independent? Joining us now, PDT Acharya, the former Secretary General of the Lok Sabha. He's also a constitutional expert. Thanks, Mr. Acharya, very much for being with us. Now, you know, this isn't a new debate now, is it? Even in the Constituent Assembly debates, the use of Bharat instead of India came up. What were some of the problems with the use of India that had been raised during the Constituent Assembly debates?
Actually, you know, if you go through the Constituent Assembly debate, you will find that lots of suggestions had come from different members about the name of India. And everybody wanted a Namkaran of the new republic. So there were many suggestions. In fact, Bharat was there, Bharat Varsh was there, Hindustan was there. All these names were there. But it would be very interesting to know that the drafting committee, which was headed by Dr. B.R. Ambedkar, you know, did not use this word, that is Bharat. The draft which was presented before the Constituent Assembly merely said India shall be a union of states. Mm-hmm. That's all. So when it came before the Constituent Assembly, a lot of discussion took place and many suggestions were given by very senior members, H.P. Kamath and K.T. Shah and so many other people. But Ambedkar agreed to a suggestion. In fact, it was an amendment moved by him that India, that is Bharat, shall be a union of states.
Right.
Really, the point to note is, what is meant by that is Bharat? What is the significance of these words? These words do not signify that these two terms can be used interchangeably.
I see.
It doesn't mean that. And according to, as far as my knowledge goes, it's a descriptive term. It describes India. I mean, you know, it says India that is known or that has been known as Bharat. That is what it simply means. So it does not mean that these two terms can be used interchangeably.
Okay.
If that were so, then it would have been mentioned somewhere in the Constitution. After all, a country can have only one name.
Okay, so let me ask you my next question, and we'll keep talking on this. Was the adoption of India a strategic decision at the time of independence after the Constituent Assembly debate, since the name appeared to carry international prestige and a sense of continuity, something which, for example, Pakistan never had?
I couldn't hear you properly.
Let me repeat that question. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was the adoption of India a strategic decision post the debates in the Constituent Assembly? Why? Because the name carried an element of international prestige and continuity, something, for example, which a country like Pakistan never had.
Yes, certainly. Certainly. It was internationally known as India. And therefore, there was no point in jettisoning that name and adopting a new name. Yes, I would say that the parliament has all the powers to change the name of the country. All that is required to bring an amendment to the Constitution. Amend Article 1, and then you give a new name, whether it is Bharat or Bharat Varsh or Jambudweep or whatever name you want to give. Parliament has absolute powers. But without amending the Constitution, I don't think you will be able to use the word Bharat instead of India.
That's interesting, because do you believe that given the political battles that we are now seeing, it might ultimately boil down to whether there is a need to amend the Constitution or the Constitution doesn't need to be amended? Why? Because India, that is Bharat, some would suggest, are synonymous. Now, you disagree with that interpretation.
Yeah.
But the counter argument is that it is synonymous. And if that argument is to be accepted, there is no need to change the amendment, or there is no need to amend the Constitution. So therefore, is that, you sense what the political battle will be about, to amend the Constitution or not?
See, the problem is, if you use these terms interchangeably, so some will use Bharat and some will use India, and there will be a lot of confusion.
But sir, respectfully, we do that even today. Both of us, in conversations with our friends, we might use Bharat on one occasion, we might use India on another occasion. It's already interchangeable entirely.
What I'm saying is that officially, you can use only one term, officially. In an article, or in a poem, or in any kind of writing, you can use that. There is no problem at all. You can use that term. But officially, for official communications, you can use only one name. That is India. India is the official name of this country.
So,
In the Hindi version of the Constitution, they are using Bharat.
Yes.
But in the English version, it is India only. That is the thing. And if you want to change that, then you have to amend the Constitution and say that India shall be known as Bharat, or India shall hereafter be known as Bharat, or something like that.
Sure.
You can bring that amendment. There is no problem.
This again came up just a few years back as well. For example, the Samajwadi Party, they said that India must be renamed Bharat in their election manifesto. I think it was in the 2004 general elections. But it is interesting, sir, isn't it, that in our country where there's been a lot of nationalism associated with language, the entire issue of nationalism associated with name has not been as common, right?
Well, you see, that is what I have said in the beginning itself, that if Parliament so wishes, it can amend it. Who is preventing it? Parliament can amend it with the requisite majority. Parliament can amend it and rename it as Bharat or Bharat Varsh or whatever. Because these are some of the suggestions which came before the Constituent Assembly. Bharat Varsh was one of the suggestions. Bharat was one of the suggestions. And it can be done. Parliament can do that.
You know, sir, every country has its own history, its own path towards development, and no two countries should be looked at as being alike. However, several countries in our region, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, Thailand, have all had their names changed because somewhere or the other in the course of their history, there was a sense that the name that they adopted and the names which exist now better reflect their reality, right? And that's a decision that each country has taken in different circumstances. Do you believe that India may be in that phase now where, you know, we are looking at who are we really and does this name work for us?
Yes, absolutely. Now, for example, Ceylon was changed into Sri Lanka. Many countries have done it. Our country can also do that. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be done or anything. I'm simply saying that you cannot use Bharat interchangeably with
Understood.
India.
I get that point.
That is the only point which I'm making.
I also want to look at this from a historical standpoint. I'm quoting the Indologist Bhimsala Law, who says or argues that Bharat Varsh never accurately conveyed the geographical extent of India when she says, and I quote, Bharat Varsh is not our India of the present geographical area. Therefore, the argument which is made is that Bharat or Bharatvarsh is all of India as we know it now. That is a historical inaccuracy. It's come to represent our belief of what all of Bharat is or all of India is. But historically, that may not have been the case.
Well, it may be so. But I am not a historian, so I don't want to comment on that. But the point is, the Parliament of today can take a decision on this.
Sure.
Parliament can rename it. Give it any name. You can retain India. You don't change it. If you want to change it, you can change it into Bharat or anything. This is what I say.
No, I take that point. I take that point and I understand the point that, look, there is one official word. It is India. You need to amend the constitution if you want to change it. However, sir, I'm trying to get into the political and cultural dynamics and the historical aspects of this as well, because I think it's fascinating and I want your personal view. And here is another question to you, sir. India versus Bharat. My question is this. In English, the word India is used. In Hindi, the word Bharat is used most often. Now, the anglicized call it India. The indigenous call it Bharat. Those were sentences I picked up from an article. Is there therefore not an underlying case of class tension which exists here, which perhaps we need to eradicate?
See, India, you know, India is a country which is so diverse, you know, we must give it a name which, you know, can emotionally connect people to it.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thing. Because when you rename a country, it must have some emotional connection with the people, historical connection. There are so many, it's a very complex kind of thing. So it is not that simple to rename a country as you like, depending on your majority in parliament. That is not how it should be looked at. Take an overall view of the whole country, its diversity, and different views of political parties and all that. Of course, after all, they are the stakeholders in the whole system. You can't just ignore one part of the country and then go ahead with your own agenda or your own policies. That may not be the right approach. Take everybody along.
Sure.
And convince them about it. Bring a consensus on such issues. I think that would be better.
The other argument which is raised now is that Bharat historically is, as a construct, is much, much older than India. And the use of India, which came about, it has its roots in Greek epitomology. It came to refer to the Indus, and then it got colonialized in a sense that there was the British East India Company, there was the Dutch East India Company. We were ruled by our colonial masters for several centuries, and then that became practice. However, the concept of Bharat is older, some would suggest, than the concept of India. And therefore, Bharat is more accurate and representative of us. What is your view on this? On this argument, sir.
See the point is, where does this Bharat come? Where does it come from? As I understand, the Bharat comes from the person called Sarvadaman, who is the son of Dushyant and Shakuntala.
Yes.
It comes from there, not the Bharat of who was the brother of Ram, Lord Ram. So, it has something to do with the past, certainly. But then, what was the size of Bharatvarsh? What was its extent? We do not know. These are all part of mythology. So, when we take in the 21st century, when you take a decision on these matters, which have many ramifications, of course, historical consideration or respect for the mythology is one thing, one important and powerful factor which would influence you. But at the same time, you are living in a modern time and you have to run a modern country in the modern age. And therefore, it would be better to take everybody on board so far as renaming the country is concerned. It is a very, very big issue, actually. It is not that simple. That's my view on that.
So just thanks, sir, very much for those views. But just in terms of the word Bharata, it's a Sanskrit word dating back to the Puranas, which would make it about 2,000 years old, according to several articles I've been going through. But the point I was making earlier that Puranic geography isn't necessarily the most accurate. What was believed to be the geography of India then is not the geography now. Be that as it may, there was a landmass which was envisaged, and that has come to sort of mean India in another language, in terms of the use of another word. But it is fascinating, sir, and I do take your point that you can't just overnight decide that, this is now the word that needs to be used. But it is a fascinating argument in a very politically volatile environment. Thanks, sir. Lovely speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Well, it's going to be a hectic next couple of days. India is all set. Delhi is all set for the G20 summit. That's going to be over the weekend. All the preparations in Delhi are underway with the Bharat Mandapam. That's where it's going to be held in what used to be called Pragati Maidan in the National Capital Region. It's looking absolutely fabulous. And it's going to be quite something with the first heads of state arriving, the Nigerian delegation, the first to arrive in India. I should also tell you that even before G20 gets underway, Prime Minister Modi will be leaving the country to go to Indonesia for a 24-hour visit on the India-ASEAN summit. That's a very important relationship before he comes back and he gets into G20. Well, commuting in Delhi during the G20 summit may be tricky because of security arrangements and VVIP movements. My colleague Nayantara Singh helps you navigate our capital city.
Biggest question on every Delhiite's mind is how to navigate the city on the G20 weekend. You know, what's open, what's shut, which roads are blocked, for how long, and if public transport will ply. Well, we're answering all those questions right here on NDTV. Well, to begin with, most of the restrictions will be in place in the control zones. The entire area of New Delhi district will be considered as a control zone 1 from 5 a.m. from early morning 5 a.m. 8 September to 11:59 p.m. on 10th September. As you can see on that map on your screens, key hubs like Pragati Maidan, Rajiv Chowk and Sardar Patel Mark are inside this zone. Control Zone 2, however, includes the Rajghat area. So the question is, what will be allowed to ply inside this zone? Well, bona fide residents, authorized vehicles and emergency vehicles will be allowed to travel on the road network of the New Delhi district. And you can see those exact roads, that exact road network on the outer boundaries of that Delhi map on your screens. Let's move onwards to catching flights. If you have to catch a flight from Delhi on the 7th, 8th or 9th of September, well, the Delhi police really has one word of advice for you, which is to take the metro. The Delhi police has made it clear that the airport express line will be open and can be used to reach IGI airport quickly without any inconveniences. But if you really need to take your personal vehicle, here are the best routes that you should follow. From the New Delhi area, you should take the Ames Chowk, then go to the Ring Road, onward to Motibagh, down to NH48, and finally reach the IGI Airport Road. If you're travelling from West Delhi, from the Punjabi Bagh Chowk, you will enter the Ring Road, then you will go onward to Raja Garden Chowk, then to Najafgarh Road, on to Dwarka Road, down to NH48, and finally reach the IGI Airport Road. Let's talk about taking trains now, and how to reach one of the main railway stations, which is the New Delhi Railway Station. If you're travelling from South Delhi or West Delhi, from the Daulatpur Road, you should take the Ring Road, then to the Shadipur flyover, onto Pusa Road, Dayal Chowk, reach the Connaught Place outer circle, and then you should be able to access the railway station from the Pahargan side. If you're travelling from North Delhi, however, you will start from the Yudhishthir Setu Road, onto the Boulevard Road, the Rani Jhansi flyover, onto the Sheeta Cinema Road, then the Pahargan Bridge, and then finally the NDLS railway station. If you're traveling to the Old Delhi Railway Station, however, from South Delhi, you will start from the Ring Road, go to Ashram Chowk, the Sarai Kale Khan, the Delhi Meerut Expressway, onto the Noida Link Road, and then you should reach the Old Delhi Railway Station. If you're traveling from North Delhi and West Delhi, you will start off from Punjabi Bagh, the Ring Road, Lodhi Road, and then to the Old Delhi Railway Station. But what about bus movement during the G20 summit? Well, the New Delhi area is completely out of bounds for city buses. However, they will be plying on the Ring Road and will be terminating at the following points on your screens.